and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Jimmy Carter's state funeral is in progress at the National Cathedral in Washington.
Let us pray with confidence to God, the giver of life, that he will raise him to perfection in the company of the saints.
The eulogies include one from the late President Gerald Ford, read by his son Stephen.
It was because of our shared values that Jimmy and I respected each other as adversaries, even before we cherished one another as dear friends.
Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale, wrote a eulogy before his death. It was read by his son, Ted.
Carter was farsighted. He put aside his short-term political interests to tackle challenges that demanded sacrifice to protect our kids and grandkids from future harm.
Still to come, a eulogy from President Biden. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point got a new chief of police. Derek Tritz tells us more.
Chief Michelle Haywood was sworn in on Monday as the new Chief of Police and Security Services for the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Haywood is an experienced law enforcement officer with 27 years of service in the Milwaukee Police Department. She has completed training in active standby ship for law enforcement through the FBI National Academy and is active in professional law enforcement organizations, such as the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. Haywood now reports to Pratima Gandhi, the Vice Chancellor of Business Affairs at the university, who said she's looking forward to Haywood's leadership and believes that her extensive experience will help maintain a high standard of safety for both students and faculty. Tony Babel, the university's previous chief, retired at the end of 2024 after nearly 7 years of service, during which he played an integral role in the university's response to the pandemic.
And the store, convenience stores in central Wisconsin, have transitioned to a new operator. Reliance Fuel, a Pennsylvania-based company, acquired the store locations from Team Sherrill in late December. They say all associates have retained their positions and all current locations remain open. Reliance Fuel will continue to offer the Impact Rewards Plus program. And they say in the future, the store will be updated to carry its Fuel on Wisconsin branding. Team Sherrill will continue to operate 7 Sherrill Tire and Auto Service locations and 30 Subway restaurants. And a study on PFAS and wastewater shows an increase in the so-called forever chemicals. A concerning trend is nearly half of all drinking water is contaminated now. Scientists say that some of the factors for the increase include the use of chemicals and medication and the effects of drought on local water systems. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a 3-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus. And I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth as a quick system slides by tonight. High temperatures today will reach the mid-20s, and light snow moves in late tonight. Continuing throughout the overnight, accumulations look light, around a half an inch. And a few flurries could still be flying early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name 1 year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the both legal and legally challenged ideas being bounced around in the final days before Trump takes office.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. You can also call and text directly via the Civic Media app.
You can also leave a comment on the live stream,
you can.
Like Rob from Tigerton did, saying, happy birthday, Jane. I hope you have a wonderful day and many thoughts and prayers to the people of Los Angeles.
Thank you, Rob. Absolutely. Thinking about L.A., what a nightmare out there. Yeah. 30,000 acres right now on fire.
The pictures are movie-esque.
Devastating.
Yes.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
Pacific Palisades is gone.
It looks like it, yeah.
It's just horrifying. So, yes, thoughts and prayers to the folks out in California. Coming up this hour in just a little bit, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be joining us with a little weather and wine. We'll find out what we have coming up as far as the weather is concerned. Maybe Brittany can chime in a little bit about whether or not they're going to get any relief in California. One of the biggest problems out there has been these extreme winds.
Extreme winds and lack of rain during a rainy season.
Yep. So, Brittany Merlot. Coming up at 11:21, Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company at 11:33 to talk all things sports. We're going to talk about Packers and Eagles.
Packers, yes, indeed, Jay.
Packers and Eagles coming up and their playoff chances. And then we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Rapunzel edition. Ew. Yeah, stick around for that. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Also, that's a great place to have a discussion if you would like to call me out on something, you want to talk about something, you want to kick something around. It's much easier to have it back and forth than doing it on the text line.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. So if you want to get into it, baby.
Well, whenever you have one of your mini rants, I know I really want to email you and be like, Jane, what are you talking about?
Jane Says.
Prove yourself.
Send it to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Kicking off this hour on an update on the Milwaukee Minnow. It's actually called Deep Thought is the boat.
No, we're going to call it the Milwaukee Minnow because I resent the fact it's called Deep Thought now.
Deep Thoughts, Milwaukee Minnow has been stranded along the shoreline between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach since October. Jessica Van Ergeren in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel now has an update on this. There's some differing information coming.
Jane, is there possible shenanigans?
One does wonder. Richard Wells and his wife are the owners of this boat, Deep Thought.
Yeah.
According to this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in the last hours of daylight, with thunderstorm-driven waves lapping at his boat, Richard Wells just wanted to make it to the slip that he and his wife had rented for a two-night stay at McKinley Marina. He said his Garmin navigational tool told him that he was right on top of the marina. He says he could see the breakwater rocks. He could see the U.S. Bank building. But he had never navigated a boat on a Great Lake. So he thought it would be best to anchor the boat and wait out the storm. Then it ran out of gas and landed along the shore again between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach on October 12th. And now it's stuck there. It's been stuck for a while.
Nearly three months.
His wife, Sherry, had tried to toss the anchor. She got hit by a wave. When they were running out of gas, he says he called the marina asking them for help. He said they were inside the breakwater when he made the call to the marina. He needed gas and he needed to know where to refuel. Richard says, my issue is being told to leave the breakwater. They shouldn't have inexperienced people answering calls. I will take responsibility for what happened. I was the captain of the boat, but they did not give me good information.
I have a really quick question. Aren't these the same two people who admitted to not being very familiar with their own boat, period? Like, they were first. Like, I thought this was the first time boat for them. And
they plan to live on it.
And they forgot to pack extra gas.
There's that. So they ran out of fuel.
What are we doing talking about inexperienced experts you're calling?
Well, and this is being disputed now. Jeff Orlowski, Milwaukee County Parks Director of Rec and Business, said he's been repeatedly assured by his staff they did everything they could to help guide these people into the marina. It was his understanding that the navigation equipment was not working, even though Richard said it was. And Orlowski says it was also his understanding the boat was south of the marina when he first called in, not inside the breakwater. The abandoned boat at this point is not a county issue. Now it's a Coast Guard issue.
Oh,
not my problem, your problem.
Oh, my God. We're talking about international jurisdiction next.
Public affairs officer for this sector of the Coast Guard says the agency first found out about the boat on the morning of October 13th. They were concerned about the possibility it could be leaking fuel.
Yeah.
The agency now concerned to read in a local TV news story about a GoFundMe page because the Wells had claimed that the Coast Guard was charging them $400 a day for the boat. This guy says that is simply not true and hopes the couple isn't being told incorrectly that they are being charged. The GoFundMe, by the way, Rescue the Stranded SS Minnow, is no longer active.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We are not charging anyone fees right now, according to the Coast Guard. We do not have jurisdiction over the boat. Nope, not ours. It's strictly now between the salvage company and the owner at this point. Right now, we're monitoring to make sure when the salvage is done safely. That's why we're checking in with the salvage company and the owners. But now the owners are not responding to phone calls.
Oh, I need to know more. Now I'm in this. I didn't care before. I thought this was a dumb story. And now this is like turning into a, I would say, a quality Lifetime movie of the week.
You think?
I think so. It's got enough intrigue where you're like, I learned more, but not enough where you're like, I would tell friends.
Tell friends about this?
Yeah.
Jerry Geyer owns the Silo Marina, which is a salvage company, mm-hmm. and they spent, I don't know how many hours on December 30th trying to get that boat moved, and they were unable to do that. It's essentially formed its own sandbar now,
Yeah. And
now it's getting iced around.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the boat's likely to stay there until spring. The owner of the salvage company says the Wells contacted him the week they ran ashore. It's been about a month since they've answered his phone calls. He did actually take out all of their belongings from the boat, dried them out. He's storing their stuff.
That's what Wisconsinites do.
And he'd like to be able to get their stuff back to them. He says, there's no reason for them to fear me. I have no plans to go after them legally. But his company spent $18,000 trying to get that boat out.
Yeah, I just think the phrasing, they have no reason to fear me, for I have their genes.
He said whether or not he ever hears from this couple again, he'll keep trying to salvage the boat. He says he's motivated by professional pride.
There you go. I mean, that's the thing, too. I think what's going to have to happen is this thing is going to have to be dismantled piece by piece.
And pulled out of there.
Correct. Yeah, because they can't have this here forever. It's going to become a danger to people. People are going to start climbing it. Well,
and that's, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Because somebody's going to get hurt, and then they're going to try to sue somebody.
Yeah, so it's just got to get, I mean, I just find it so interesting that I have to imagine this has happened on other boats, on other beaches. And like, there has to be a best practices out there. They're like, oh, the situation you're in, here's what you do. It's long and protracted, but this is what you do. It seems that this has confounded so many people now, and it's just literally sitting on the beach. You would think you could get 50 people to just push it into the water, but you cannot.
No, you can't.
You're going to have to strip it for parts.
Either, well, or you have to somehow move all the sand underneath it so you can get it far enough out so you can get somebody to pull it.
I know. I mean, is it a matter of like building a small damway system where the water can't get around, you can dig it? I don't know. I'm fascinated by the science of how to get it out.
We can reach out to the salvage company. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
One other wrinkle in this, there's no insurance money. The boats had been surveyed by an insurance company over a year ago. That makes that survey too outdated for their insurance agent in Mississippi where they live. The plan was to bring the boat home and then insure it. They picked it up in Manitowoc.
Oh, okay.
They sailed down to Milwaukee where they were going to stay for two nights.
Yeah.
Then they were going to sail down the coast to the Chicago River and take that to the Mississippi. And then take that back to their home in Mississippi.
That sucks.
But do you take on a journey like that without insurance?
No, you don't. And you also don't take, honestly, in my opinion, unless I'm incorrect here, the earlier stories made it seem like the couple from Mississippi were not the most experienced boat navigators.
Right.
So I would think you wouldn't even, I would think you'd either hire someone to come with you or hire a company to bring it to you, not do this on your own. Because while from this water to this water to this water to home seems like a reasonable idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about weather patterns. You're talking about possible storms. You're talking about other boats. You're talking about animals. You're talking about all these different X factors that you don't know about. And you think you're just going to buy a boat?
Well, and Richard Wells admitted he's never navigated the Great Lakes.
So, yeah.
And Calvin and I were talking about this before we came on the air, right, Calvin? About, I just don't think people have enough respect for the Great Lakes and how dangerous it can be.
Absolutely.
And how dangerous the conditions can get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly feel for these people. What a nightmare. This was their dream, to live on a boat.
I'm starting to get to the point where their behavior is seeming very, like, if it's not shady and not nefarious and it's not shenanigans, you're just saying, well, it's we're not going to do it. It's fine. You can, like, they're making it hard for other people now.
And, well, I just feel like they didn't think this out thoroughly.
I mean,
my husband loves to say that when he wins the lottery, by the way, we've been married for 22 years. I think the most he's ever won, and he buys them twice a week, is $6. But when he wins the lottery, we're going to buy a yacht and sail around the world. And I said, you're not driving.
Yeah.
if you win the lottery and we buy a boat, we're getting a captain, not you.
If we win the lottery, we're joining a boat club so I can be around other people's boats. I don't want the cleaning, the insuring, the storing, all that stuff. No!
Stay with us. We're going to talk a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist. That's coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test, fix, save a life.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, the Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports. We will wrap up the show at 11:51, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Rapunzel edition. Oh, stick around for that. Right now, though, we're being joined by Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot for a little weather and wine. Good morning, lady. How are you?
Good morning, Jane, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. I'm not dead yet.
Be throwing it.
So let's talk a little bit about snow. And I know here in southeastern Wisconsin, at least, we're talking about maybe a little overnight snow into tomorrow, and then the possibility of Sunday into Monday. We're not talking about huge amounts of snow, though, are we, Brittany?
No, not at all. In fact, Wisconsin has missed out on a majority of the snow.
Yay.
Just in general. It's weird. So you look at the snow accumulation map of where the snow is actually sitting on the ground right now. It is all around us. We just have this hole right here in Wisconsin. So we're going to continue that trend. Why not? Right? Tonight, we're only going to look at a trace to about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch for the southern half. And then up north, maybe you could get a half an inch to an inch. So this one is a nothing.
It's really. It's a little kiss. It's a little weather kiss.
Yes.
Exactly. I don't want this kiss.
You have a fancy snow blower now. What are you talking about?
I have a giant boulder now in my on the skirt of my driveway that someone put on there that's blocking one third of my driveway. A big snow boulder. I'm upset because my snow blower can't do anything about it.
I was going to come over, push it out of the way, and build a snowman with it.
It's always Brittany. Always looking at the bright side.
She's got the answer. She's got the answer.
Yeah.
And then what about Sunday? And what about Sunday into Monday?
Yeah, so Sunday into Monday, we have a quick clipper system moving in. It's targeting us. It is our storm, and we are looking at 1 to 3 inches widespread. Of course, the Northwoods could see 2 to 5, closer to Lake Superior, but that is going to put down some snowfall for the state. So Sunday's the day. Yay!
She's all excited.
Rob from Tigerna says, I need the money to plow snow. We know, Rob.
And there are a bunch of folks who depend on snow for their livelihoods. Rob is not the only one. There's other snow plow drivers.
I don't.
And resort folks and people who have taverns up north where they do the snow machine bar hops and all those things. They need snow.
I know. Let them
have
it.
You know what we're doing here now in Wausau? We're literally going from our snow hill who makes, you know, fake snow. We're putting that in downtown. We're trying to freeze it, put water on top of it so we can have an ice skating rink because we haven't had anything. It's just
seriously?
A ball of fake snow. Yeah. In Wisconsin.
Hard. You know what's going to happen, though, Brittany? I'm sorry, but in the middle of March, we're going to get crushed. We are just going to get crushed. It's like we skate all winter and we get away with it. And it's like, we got this far. And then Mother Nature's going to come back in spring and go, yeah, we're not done yet.
Exactly.
Always, you know, Jane, with the light thoughts of life.
I'm here to bring a little dose of reality and just, I'm the crusher of joy. This is what I do.
You are totally the crusher of joy.
This is what I do. Let's talk about what's happening out west, Brittany, and the just horrific fires out in California. And the Santa Ana winds have been feeding this 70-mile-an-hour winds and higher. So anytime an ash flies into the air and it flies across the road and lands in another house, then you have another blaze.
Absolutely. And then you've got those winds sustained right now, anywhere from 50 to 60 miles per hour. Thankfully, the gusts are calming down. They were at like triple digits yesterday, but slowly easing. But it is going to pick back up again this afternoon before it calms down by tomorrow night. So another good push today. And like you said, one little spark, one little tree down, creating another spark, right? There's so many different ways for this continue to start and spread and in the dry air. And yeah, it's a disaster out there. When you think about the high pressure system that is so strong over the Northwest, combined with this low pressure that we're going to feel a little bit of that overnight tonight, but that big storm system that's putting snowfall into Texas and into Tennessee and Kentucky, those two working together, so the West Coast and down to the South, those two systems are working together to really create those Santa Ana winds and make it a lot worse for them. So once the system starts moving out of Texas and starts to head towards us overnight, where we just get a little bit of snow, that'll start to give them some relief through tomorrow.
Well, Mark on the live stream said, and please tell me if this is right or wrong, the fire itself, because it's so big, generates its own weather then.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
That's
insanity.
So you've
got so much heat. We think all of that heat is rising, rising, right? Hot air rises. Well, something's got to replace it. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just a moving weather system in a sense. So yes, he's right.
And how much of a snow are we talking about in Texas?
Oh, Texas, over a half of a foot of snowfall? Yeah.
How far south?
But we should be getting.
Because I have a good friend in Belton, Texas, which is kind of about an hour northwest of, northeast rather, of Austin. How far south is that snow in Texas going to go?
So the snow looks right now towards Dallas, and it kind of slices across the panhandle and into Oklahoma. So a little bit more north where you're talking, but they're getting freezing rain and ice accumulations into those areas. So just as
bad. I wish your energy grids good luck, Texas.
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously.
Well, and the thing with areas like that getting snow is they just aren't set up for it. They just don't have the equipment to handle it.
No, they definitely don't.
You would think at this point, I mean, I'm not saying they should go buy 40 trucks, but you would think at this point that they would have something somewhere that could help take care of something, because it's not unusual for these southern states now to get some snow. And right. I know that you spoke, Brittany, and actually Racine was looking. I don't know if they did it or they were looking at it, but they use, like, they have, there's different ways of melting the snow. One of the ways is actually using brine.
Brine, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And yes. Did you know that we actually mix cheese into the brine?
It's true.
What kind of cheese are we using in our brine?
I'm not sure. It's a trade secret.
All the cheese I hate.
But they are definitely, yeah. But it actually helps. So they put this brine mixed with the cheese mixture down in the streets. And then when they put the salt on top of it, it actually acts to intensify it and speed it up. So they're using less salt, more brine, and more environmentally friendly.
Oh, that's great.
That's the other thing, too, is that brine helps keep the streets from getting ripped up, too.
So. Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week, Brittany.
Thank you.
Stay with us. News coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, we are global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. When the rain set in.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlau. The nation is remembering Jimmy Carter today. One of his lasting legacies is undoubtedly Habitat for Humanity. The Carters were huge advocates for the nonprofit. In 1989, Milwaukee Habitat hadn't built its first home yet. But then the Carters came. Milwaukee Habitat CEO Brian Sonderman says Carter and his wife Rosalind brought compassion to the work site.
The former president and first lady came to Milwaukee, mobilized over 1,000 volunteers, built 6 brand new homes, completed them in 1 week, as well as doing 8 rehabbed homes in the Walnut Hill neighborhood of Milwaukee. So to say that this put Milwaukee Habitat on the map is an understatement.
And the trip almost wasn't a success due to rainy weather that threatened to derail the project. But Carter took up the news stations to appeal to roofers in the area. Sonderman recalls that they showed up in droves in response and completed the roofing for all 6 homes in just 1 day.
He said on more than one occasion that his faith demanded that he do what he did. And I think that's a great example for those people of faith to not only talk about it with their words, but to put their faith into action.
Sonderman says Carter found that in Habitat for Humanity by serving his neighbor and loving them as himself. And all federal government buildings are closed today as a national day of mourning for former President Jimmy Carter. He died on December 29th at 100 years old. President Joe Biden will deliver a eulogy at Carter's funeral today. And President-elect Donald Trump is expected to attend the service. The U.S. Postal Service will not deliver mail today, and federal offices and departments are closed. In addition, the stock exchange will not have trading as well. Flags at government buildings will fly at half staff through January 28th. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Award show season is not only fun if you like award shows, it also can give you excellent suggestions of what you should be watching. On the heels of Sunday night's Golden Globes ceremony, the Screen Actors Guild just announced their nominations. Leading the way in the film category was Wicked with 5 nominations. Not too far behind with 4 nominations was A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Let's do a deep dive. One of the cool things about the SAG Awards is that they recognize entire ensembles when it comes to cast. A Complete Unknown and Wicked are both nominated in the category, in addition to Conclave, Anora, and Emilia Perez. Typically, when the movie wins for ensemble cast at the SAG Awards, it more often than not results in a Best Picture win at, wait for it, the Oscars. Cast ensemble has been a category at the SAG Awards since 1995, and Variety reports that in 30 years, only 4 films have won Best Picture at the Oscars that didn't win for Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth as a quick system slides by tonight. High temperatures today will reach the mid-20s, and light snow moves in late tonight. Continuing throughout the overnight, accumulations look light, around a half an inch. And a few flurries could still be flying early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 21.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Doorworks for the win.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach gives us his popcorn pick of the week. Mike Clemens joins for a Packers update, and we talk poetry with James Roberts of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up at 11:51, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Rapunzel edition. Stick around for that. He joins us every other Thursday, though, at this time to talk all things sports balls. Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
We lost to the Bears.
We did. It was kind of depressing.
It was depressing.
It's especially depressing because I do feel like the Packers put forth some effort to win the game. They could have just rested all of their starters, securing the knowledge that they very, very likely were going to have to play the Eagles next week anyway. There was a small chance they could have moved up a spot in the seeding to play the Rams in the first round of the playoffs, which would be better. But it would have taken Dallas and their backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, and Mike McCarthy, upsetting Washington. It was unlikely. It was close, but it didn't happen. And so the Packers, I think, did try and still lost to the Bears, which is a little distressing when you're heading into the playoffs, to be sure. And there were a lot of weird things about the game. Matt LaFleur did not coach a good game. Christian Watson got hurt. But I think the biggest takeaway and the biggest thing to be distressed about from this game is it's the second week in a row that a team played almost entirely man defense against the Packers, and they were unable to do anything against it on offense. And this has become the book on them. Compounding all of that, moving ahead a little bit, the Eagles are the best defense in the league playing man defense against other teams. So you know what you're going to see on Sunday. It is up to Matt LaFleur to solve this problem in advance of facing the Eagles. And he wasn't able to solve it against the Bears. And that is a lot easier to do than what's going to be coming up next week. So not a good game. Went very poorly from all possible perspectives.
This does not make me feel hopeful about the next game.
Well, he has three days to fix the problem, Jane. He'll do it.
Yeah, he does. So that's the bad. Just finishing off the bad. The one big weapon that the Packers did have against man defense was Christian Watson, who did blow out his knee, tore his ACL, and some other things in the Bears game. When he is in the game, the Packers are about an average team against man defense. When he's out, every play they run costs them about a third of a point. So that's not ideal, of course. But there are some ways that you can combat this. And the Eagles have their own issues. The Eagles are actually almost as bad on offense against zone, and the Packers primarily play zone. If I had to make any prediction about this Sunday, it would be that this game's a big old rock fight with less offense than people predict, a big defensive showing, and the turnovers. It's cliche to say turnovers will decide a game, but probably turnovers will decide the game. So there's that. The other thing you can do against man defense, and the Packers are medium at this, is you can have your quarterback run a little bit. Jordan Love's not super fast. He's about as fast as Aaron was when he was a young man. But teams that have run at least a little bit against the Eagles have actually done really, really well at getting them out of man. And that's not always been super fast quarterbacks. One of the Eagles' big losses this year was to Washington, who has a good running quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But one of their other very few losses was to Tampa earlier this year. Their quarterback is Baker Mayfield. He's kind of fast. He didn't have a great rushing game, but they ran him enough to get them out of man. And so if Matt LaFleur is being creative, one thing they should do is have a couple of designed runs for Jordan in this game. And they actually did this in the first game against the Eagles, running some what are they called, RPO plays. And they worked. So to give you a little hope, we've seen this before, and they were smart enough to figure out a couple of ways around it. So there is some hope there, but they do have to solve that man problem on offense. It is a big problem. Not many teams have solved it.
I'm still not feeling much better.
Sorry.
Well, I'm very que sera with the Packers in football. And I just thought, for me personally, it was the level of hubris that the Packer fans had going into the game last week. I mean, the posts, the comments, everything about it was just like, Well, yes, mark that one off as a win. We're good to go. Kick the feet up. That's 12 games in a row for us. But, and they lose. But then the Bears fans get so excited. They're acting like they've won 10 Super Bowls in a row. Like, I'm watching Bears fans puff up their chest like they aren't absolutely out of playoff contention, and they're going to probably we've just heard word the Bears are out of playoff contention for 2026 as well. but every time they beat the Packers, they act like they have just won 20 Super Bowls.
But it's that long-standing rivalry, right, Paul? I mean, this has been going on for decades and decades, and we pretty much cleaned their clocks for the last how many years?
Yeah, a long, long time. All of LaFleur had not lost to the Bears in his tenure as of yet. And, you know, all of our rivals kind of get like this. I do feel like the Bears care about this more. Like, the Bear, like, front office guys and coaches, often when they start, I remember when Lovie Smith started for them long, long ago, saying, like, our first goal is to beat the Packers. And the Packers' first goal, I think, is usually, like, we're going to try and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
We really care about you guys. I do think that this was a very hubristic game. The Packers almost lost to the Bears in their first game. They won on a walk-off blocked field goal. Like, that's how that game went.
Yeah.
And the Bears pulled out all the stops in this game. They ran a fake punt return, a very clever fake punt return that, honestly, teams should run more of. They ran a second one that didn't work. They ran a bunch of double reverses. They did every creative thing they could to win this game. They clearly cared a lot about it, and the Packers were woefully underprepared for them. So hopefully this will be at least, if nothing else, a little bit of a wake-up call to pay some attention to the details around the team that you're facing. By the way, Philly does love to run trick plays as well. It is they do a lot of stuff right. They usually do that at the right time. So hopefully they'll be a little prepared for the unexpected when they wouldn't have been otherwise. But yeah, the Bears are definitely puffing out their chest a little bit more for a team that has no coaches or anything like that.
But it almost seems like the Packers themselves were taking on the attitude of the fans of like, we got this, we got this locked. And I'm sorry, guys, as my mother always said, don't let it go to your head. It's not going to work out well.
Yeah.
Let's get over ourselves, perhaps just a scooch.
Totally. I think they were definitely looking past this for sure. You could see it because they ran a couple of waste plays where they had Malik Willis and Jordan Love on the field at the same time, throwing stuff out there to kind of give the Eagles something else to look at, but not actually trying to score points. I think the worst thing you can do in those sort of week 18 situations is play your starters, but not play them like full bore. We're trying to win the game. Christian Watson got hurt on a freak play, but that's kind of how you get people hurt when not everybody's trying their hardest, when you're running, vanilla offense that's easy to scout and play against. And they almost had a disaster. Jordan Love hurt his elbow in this game. He is purportedly fine. But think about if that would have happened in this game because they weren't trying all out to win it or benching him, one of the two. And then Malik Willis went and hurt his hand a few plays later. So they were almost down to Sean Clifford coming back to start a playoff game. And that's not where you want to be. They should have been more decisive in what they wanted to do in this game. Either win it or rest everybody. But don't go halvesies. That never works out well.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is our guest. He's with the Acme Packing Company sports guru, and he joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Who is the strongest team in the league right now, Paul? Who do you think has the best shot at winning the Super Bowl?
I actually do the analytics power rankings for our site, so I can actually tell you that. And it is the Lions. And kudos to the Lions for overcoming a ton of injuries. They should not be as good on defense as they are. They're missing basically all of their starting cornerbacks. They're missing their best pass rusher, Aiden Hutchinson. But they are far and away the best offense, and they have just turned their defense around from a little bit of a lull. They're way better than anybody else is. On the other side of the other conference, the Ravens and the Bills are actually about even Stevens, even though the Bills have a better record. The Bills have a slightly easier path to the Super Bowl, so I would give a little bit of a nod to them. But those two teams are almost identical in every way, every offensive, defensive slice you can give. Philly's the fourth. We are facing the fourth best team in the league in this first round of the playoffs. So that is how it stacks up. There's definitely an elite tier and then a sub tier. We're in the sub tier.
And if the Packers can't win it, I would be delighted to see the Lions win it. I really would. They have been stomped on and discounted for so many years, and just what that city has gone through and all of it, I think that would be a great cherry for them.
Yeah, I do. I would too. I also really respect how they've gone about putting their team together, really doing a total restructure of the entire organization. But they don't do anything stupid. They make no mistakes. They have had great draft after great draft. They addressed all of their weaknesses this year through good use of free agency, through a very, very clever draft. They run a fantastic offense, and injuries don't seem to stymie them. Everybody else has an injury, and they just fall apart. The Lions have had it like the worst of anybody in the division, and they have been completely unaffected by it. They're very, very good. If they were fully healthy, they would be leaps and bounds better than anybody else. Yeah. The fact that they are hurt gives us a couple chances, but that is it.
Talking about the Lions and all the amazing things that they've been doing, let's move on to the Brewers and all the amazing things they are not doing.
They're not doing anything. And they've made a couple of minor signings of like some minor league invites. They give somebody a half guarantee. But here's the thing. We started to get projections now coming out for how the season will go for everybody next year. And the Brewers projections from Zips and Pecota aren't terrible. They're like an 86 win team as currently constructed, but they have just giant offensive holes having lost Willie Adames. And everybody who makes a projection says the same thing, which is you need to get some more offense at third base in particular. But the way it's looking right now is they're probably going to move Joey Ortiz to shortstop, and third base is just nothing. A bunch of weird platoons. They brought Jake Bauer back the other day, which is not a good sign either, because he's a good defensive first baseman, but they can't hit. They're going to be one of the worst offensive teams in the league if they don't add anybody to it. They'll be good at pitching. Their defense is outstanding. They'll get a bump from Jackson Churio, probably, you know, maturing one more year. All of that will help. Maybe you get Yelich back for a little more than you did last year. But they're pitching and defense, and they need to add a couple of bats before the season starts, or other teams' pitching staffs will mow this team down over and over.
Greg is heavily distressed by this, Paul.
Is it? I mean, we don't have much time, so I'll just ask this really quick question. Yep. Is it just a matter of someone just finally saying to the owners, committee, saying, hey, spend some real money on a player or two?
Yeah, so I could spend a whole nother segment on this, but one of the big trends this offseason is the teams that do not have cable money certainty not spending. Mm-hmm. Basically, everybody who is in that big collapse of regional cable has not spent any money. The Brewers are one of those. They did just sort of re-up with FanDuel or DraftKings, one of the gambling sites, to run their site. But that is a temporary deal. It gives them some certainty on money for this year only. But long term, I think they'll still be very gun shy about giving out long contracts, because they are still very much up in the air as to how much money they'll end up with. I think they'll end up in the sort of MLB streaming package that baseball itself is starting to put together. When that comes to fruition, that will help. But right now, they have no idea what they're going to have money-wise long-term. So I would not look to them spending anything other than one-year reclamation projects.
Great. I think what they need is a player with a good nickname. I think they need a Skip.
A Skip always goes a long way.
Right.
Scooters, Skips, always very helpful.
A Shooter or a Skip?
Shooter.
Shooter works too. Well, we'll call them and pass that on. Paul Noonan is here every other week from the Acme Packing Company. Thank you so very much, Paul. Really appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple.
Thanks, all.
Stay with us. This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media, host of Amicus, a Law Review, on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim, a former U.S. attorney, very, very knowledgeable man. All kinds of things going on legal-wise.
All over the country.
All over the country, especially some particular questionable things in North Carolina.
Shenanigans.
And the fact that Donald Trump just called Samuel Alito.
He's got him on speed dial.
Just for a little friendly chat.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all fine. They're not making any deals. Nothing to see here.
Jane, really quick question for you.
Yeah.
What are you doing for your birthday? Because it's Jane's birthday, everybody.
It is. I'm going to go give blood.
You're just going to give it away?
I'm just going to give it away.
Man, yes. I usually sell mine. I'm like sitting in the parking lot of a Pick and Save. I'm like,
you
hey.
Have inspired me because you are, I mean it, because you are a regular blood donor. You can do it every 6 weeks.
No.
Every
8. So if you're donating whole blood, you can do it every 8 weeks.
Every 8 weeks.
If you're doing dual red, which is what I usually do, or you're giving plasma, it's every 16 weeks.
Okay. But it's something easily done.
Easily done.
Easily done. Versity has locations all over the place.
Yes.
We're in Racine. I'm going to hit the Versity right off of Highway 20 here my way home. And it's something you can do. It doesn't take that long. Consider it if you've never done it. And consider doing it regularly. My goal is to be as regular as you are, and I want to get, like, a pin.
I don't know. I've never gotten a pin. I've been donating for a long time. I should have gotten at least a couple. But
you're probably due a pin.
It's neither here nor there, but the point is this is something that a person at Versity once told me. They said if every person who is available and eligible could give once a year, they'd never have a shortage ever again.
Think about that.
Think about that. You can spare a couple of hours a year to give blood. I know you might be scared of needles. You'll be fine. They'll literally hold your hand if you tell them.
Absolutely.
But please.
Come in when I go in. We can do a race and see who fills out the bag first.
And we're going Okay. We're going to try to get Versity back on the show to talk about all the things they have going on, the things they need. They always need blood. Also talking about organ tissue donation as well. So
very, very important.
Thank you, Jane, for doing that.
Well, and thank you for inspiring me. Yeah, it is 11:54, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from the Independent headline reads, woman addicted to eating her own hair has giant hairball with tail removed from her stomach.
I wish y'all could see Calvin's face right now. A
38-year-old woman suffering from nausea, vomiting, and an extremely swollen abdomen when she arrived at a hospital in the U.S. She'd suffered dramatic weight loss, lost 15 pounds over 8 months after she lost her appetite. The unnamed woman rushed into surgery where a giant hairball was found lodged in her digestive tract with a small tail of hair trailing into her intestines and a second hairball nestled deeper in her bowel. She suffers from Rapunzel syndrome.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's called trichotillomania.
Okay, understood. That's a very long word.
Trichotillomania, mm-hmm. otherwise known as Rapunzel syndrome, has only been documented 88 times. 88 times in medical literature, so this is very, very rare. It's a disorder that causes a patient to develop an irresistible urge to pull out their own hair and then ingest it. Named after the Rapunzel from the Grimm Brothers fairy tale. It's extremely uncommon, but it can cause potentially deadly side effects. As the hair gets lodged in the stomach, typical symptoms include nausea, vomiting, altered bowel habits, abdominal distension, and weight loss. Surgeons removed it from the woman. She was released after 6 days in the hospital. Some recommendations that she seek therapy.
Well, yes, absolutely. And I don't want, you know, this is unfortunate.
It's rare condition.
Yeah, it's a very rare condition. And we're not making fun of her for having a condition, but this shouldn't be a thing that affects people. But also, I just think that it's poorly named.
Rapunzel syndrome?
And this might be a difference between like what you grew up listening to or watching versus the Grimm's tales, which are vastly different
and very dark.
Very dark.
The originals are.
Read them to your kids.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that Rapunzel, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, I don't think Rapunzel ate her hair in the story, but she just had really long hair.
She had really long hair, which was used as a ladder.
Correct.
So I guess it would be more accurate if this woman had really long hair and she was trying to climb it.
Rapunzel syndrome is when you are trapped in a tower and you have right. a need to grow your hair and use it as a viable escape tool.
All right. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba lightening things up with Nightlight. And then tomorrow morning, we kick it off all over again with Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio from 6 to 8, and Earl Ingram from 8 to 10 a.m. right before we begin. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all. For calling and texting and listening, it absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay with us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see
Happy
you tomorrow.
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted.
But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Jimmy Carter's state funeral has ended. The nation's tribute, including eulogies from President Biden.
I miss him, but I take solace in knowing that he and his beloved Rosalind are reunited again.
Stephen Ford read from the eulogy that his father, President Gerald Ford, wrote before his death nearly two decades ago.
It was because of our shared values that Jimmy and I respected each other as adversaries, even before we cherished one another as dear friends.
Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale, died nearly 4 years ago. His son, Ted, read his words.
Carter was farsighted. He put aside his short-term political interests to tackle challenges that demanded sacrifice to protect our kids and grandkids from future harm.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Join us live every